Shall we sing number 318? Number 318. O Lamb of God, still keep us close to thy dear side. It's only there in safety and peace.
Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that which died for them and rose again. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And then one more verse in John's Gospel, chapter 17. John's Gospel, chapter 17, and verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Scripture teaches us that God is light and God is love. And we naturally enjoy, focus on, appreciate the love of God more than we do that God is light. The God being light brings before us his holiness and his glory. And the point I want to make is to encourage our hearts to seek to know our God better in his glory, and to know his glory better. Because of our need as sinful creatures, we easily go to God in that need after we come to the Lord Jesus and draw for our need on his love and thank him for his love and appreciate it in our measure. And when we see a need, we go to God to meet that need, and we think of his love as that which we seek to take care of the need. We recognize God is holy and just, and so in some way, I say more less, we tend to say, well, God has to do it right. He has to do it in a certain way that takes care of that side of things. But I would suggest sometimes we don't focus on it in a way that would help us to know God better. God does not, cannot, will not do anything in love which is inconsistent with his glory. And we do well to think about that, to appreciate that, to sometimes when we want God to do something, to stop and ask our own hearts, can God do this for his glory, or can he not? In our own lives and in our own little way of love and so on, we will sometimes do a little less on somebody we really love and have a close relationship with. We might do something that kind of sets aside some of the aspect of what I would call God's glory for the sake of the circumstance and that individual. If it's somebody we don't know so well and don't have such a close relationship with and so on, we're a little more inclined to uphold righteousness than maybe in the personal family, brethren relationships. We had this morning the Lamb of God and the fact that God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering. If we could stop and look at God's side of it for a moment, we would recognize that in all his love for the Israelite, in all his love for you and I, there was no solution to our need in his love that in the tiniest way sacrificed his glory. it must be anything that could be done has to be done in a way that maintains God as He is. And for God, the cost of redemption to satisfy His heart of love required the ultimate price for Him to pay. His son. We can't measure, we can't appreciate what it cost God to save our souls in measure, because perhaps we don't appreciate His glory. But it is valuable for us to seek to know it, and that's the burden of my heart to share, to seek to know it, because in any measure in which we seek it out, we'll know God better, and we'll know His love better. We will know and appreciate Him more. And so the Lord Jesus, who perfectly understood when His life was coming to a close, He didn't say, "Father, I want you to know that I've showed everybody how much you love them." True, He did. It's a true statement. But He said, "Father, I have glorified Thee. I have glorified Thee." For the first time in the history of mankind, God had been glorified in a man on the earth in a full life. There were certainly actions that were taken by men that honored God, that displayed His excellency, His majesty, aspects of His glory. But it was the first time that it could ever be said of a life, "I have glorified Thee on the earth." So, the Lord Jesus, we are exhorted, the love of Christ constrains us. And the love of Christ doesn't constrain an unsaved man, doesn't constrain a lost man, because he doesn't have a nature, he doesn't have a life that's constrained by love, that is the love of Christ. But we're constrained by that love. And so that love constrains us to properly, in our measure, respond to Him. That they which live should not live henceforth to themselves. Because that love constrains in the sense that we had this morning, that we're not our own anymore. We belong to Him as purchased by His precious blood, and so we're His. We say, "Lord." And as Lord, He has that authority over our lives, and at the same time, we enter into His love in daily life that would constrain us to respond properly to that love in our lives. So that's one side of it. The love of Christ constrains us. But we also read another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You're bought with a price. The price that maintained the glory, this is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. The price paid to uphold the glory of God and save us. The price, the supreme price that God had to pay, which was the giving of the Son. Not only the giving of Him, but as was mentioned this morning in type and figure, that lamb that the Israelite offered on the Passover night was put to death, and then it was burnt. In other words, it was a merciful thing of God that the animal felt nothing of the fire. In contrast to that, the Lord Jesus was a living sacrifice. In those hours of darkness on the cross, having refused anything that would dull his senses, not taking the wine or anything else that in the tiniest measure might mitigate or make less what he was going to go through, our sins were laid on him, and he bore the punishment of them to exhaust the holy wrath of God, which was required according to God's glory. But also, and perhaps more difficult for his soul, was to be made sin. Because he was the Son of God. And as the Son of God, and understanding the glory that belonged to them, his holy being to the thought of being made sin, to taking the place of sin, what man is in his nature, was almost, you might say, incomprehensible to his holy soul. His very glory of his being was such that to think of being made sin, Father, save me from this hour. That's a significant part of the hour. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, is in its greatest aspect, perhaps, the being made sin. Because there the issue of glory was in its greatest intensity, having to be born in his person as being made sin. And, brethren, while we can't understand it, it's well for us to think about it at times and to seek to say, Lord, help me to understand. And the practical result in our lives, you're bought with a price. And as we enter into that price in our souls, in any measure that we do, then comes the, therefore, glorify God. Just as the Lord Jesus says, I have glorified, or not just as, but the Lord Jesus says, I have glorified thee on the earth. May our hearts also desire, in satisfying the heart of God, that in some measure, when life is finished, it can be said, not only this person loved like the Lord Jesus loved, but this person lived to the glory of God like the Lord Jesus lived to the glory of God. To the glory of God in body and in spirit. for both are God's. That was the price of redemption, to make us God's, to make us God's possession in holiness and truth and love. And so we are constrained by His love as we appreciate the price that's been paid. We are also exhorted to live life to His glory. And God found great joy and satisfaction in His Son, who honored Him in His glory, and at the same time, at whatever cost it was to Himself, He maintained that glory and express the heart of God's love. May the Lord help us to do that as well.